I found 1212 right after I miscarried our first baby, and I got connected with them. And before 1212, I felt very alone. After I got connected with the podcast and the small groups, I had people to come alongside with me in this journey that I'm on.
Impact stories like this one are only made possible by donors like you. To donate to 1212 Ministries, text the word 12 to 345-345. Thanks so much for partnering with us.
I just want to challenge you to welcome the refining process that you're in. Welcome the Lord into every part of it, the peaks, the valleys, the highs, the lows. Don't push him aside when it doesn't go the way that you felt that it should. I think that infertility takes you to a place of vulnerability that can seem like constant, heavy, and really deep emotion. But my challenge to you is to take that vulnerability and push it into an authenticity that can only happen in that kind of surrender and in that kind of pain. Hey, friends, welcome to the Purpose Beyond Motherhood podcast. Together, we are using our voices to walk alongside women navigating infertility and motherhood. I'm Holly, and I'm so happy you're tuning in today.
Hey, friends, and I'm Nicole. Let me tell you a little bit about 1212 Ministries and why this podcast exists. 1212 Ministries creates a safe space for emotional restoration, physical healing, and spiritual discipleship for women who have or are experiencing infertility. We want to share hope in the hard things and encourage you to be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer.
Our heart behind this podcast is to make sure that no woman walks this journey alone.
Welcome to the Purpose Beyond Motherhood podcast. Hi, friends. Welcome to the Purpose Beyond Motherhood podcast. My name is Nicole. I am the co-host here, and it's just me doing the intro because in just a little bit, you are going to hear from Holly. Holly shared a powerful and impactful word at our last Refined event in April, and we are sharing that with you today. But again, before we jump into that, can you do me a favor? Can you subscribe to the podcast? Share this with a friend and leave us a review. We want you to be a part of this global gospel impact in sharing this with a friend. The more you share, the more that you leave us a review and just, you know, subscribe to the podcast, that the more people are going to hear this. This is just a bigger opportunity for women to find healing and hope through the hard things. And so we want to partner with you, our listeners. So thank you for having our back. Thank you in advance for sharing this message of hope and joining us in the global gospel impact. So now to the episode. Again, we're hearing from Holly when she spoke at Refined in April. So PS, side note, our next Refined event is going to be Saturday, October 28th. 2023 in Coppell, Texas. And I'm so excited about this, you guys, because we have our LPCs, our counselors, joining us on the panel to kind of share some practical tips and steps for you during your journey with infertility and pregnancy loss. So you do not want to miss it. So grab your ticket today, come and visit us, and join us for Refined. But now, here's the episode with Holly as she shares her heart at Refined.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here. I'm so excited to get to talk to y'all and just share a little bit about my story. So I'm going to tell you how this is going to go because it's going to help me because I am ADD. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about my life, my journey, my infertility story. And then I'm going to give you four little takeaways that have helped me. And that's going to be it. Okay. So first, we're going to pray because I need a good prayer right now, and maybe you do too. All right, Lord, I thank you so much for these women. I thank you for the opportunity to pour into them and whatever words or truths that you want me to speak. God, I ask that you would place them in my mouth and let them come out in an eloquent way. I thank you for them. I thank you for their hearts for you. It's your name I pray. Amen. Okay, so I grew up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area my whole life. My parents liked to move, but we always lived in the same 30-mile radius. Great Christian family, faith-filled parents. They weren't perfect, but they did their best. After high school, I attended Baylor University, where I met my husband, John, who's back there because he makes me feel more calm. He's my biggest cheerleader, and he does look like I ordered him out of a catalog. I literally mailed Jesus a letter, and he was like, and here. I'm glad you like that. So we got married in July of 2011. So we've been married almost 12 years. And I stopped birth control shortly after that. And I was like, totally going to get pregnant. Like, this is going to be easy. No big deal. Didn't happen. Years passed. Like, I think probably 2 or 3 years before I was like, something's probably a little bit off. Like, this shouldn't be this hard, you know? So my OB was like, you know, let's try some medicine. So I tried Clomid. 3 to 4 months, nothing. Also made me very rude. Then I tried Femara, kind of the same thing, I wasn't a nice wife on any of these drugs, really. And I felt bad for him on that because he had to deal with it. Then I did an HSG, everything fine. Blood work, everything fine. He had to be tested, everything was fine. There was nothing identifiable that they could put their finger on. They were like, this is it. This is the thing. Like, we'll just shake this up and fix it and it'll be good to go. So then I saw my first fertility doctor in October of 2016. He recommended IVF, our first appointment. And I was like, who is this guy and what is happening? I was like, I'm not doing that. We haven't even, I think I was 26. I was like, no. So we did 2 IUIs with him. Both of those failed. And then I was like, I'm out of here. I want a different doctor. So I say all of that to say, you are your biggest advocate. If you have a tilt in your spirit, if you're like, I don't like this. I don't like this setup. You're pushing me to do things I don't want to do. Then change. Go to a different doctor. You are in charge of that. And you are not married to that doctor. And they're not going to probably remember if you don't come back. So after I did a consult with my new doctor, he recommended another IUI. So I did that with injectables this time. And that one failed. So then he said, I don't want to say you need surgery, but you kind of need surgery so I can see what's happening in your body. So I had mild to moderate endometriosis. They found that in January of 2017. Fixed that, cleaned it up. My left ovary was also stuck to my abdominal wall, which thinking about that grosses me out. But he fixed that. And then we tried for a full year after that. Which you all know that timed intercourse is super relaxing. ARMs. It's really fun. John really loved it. I would be crying, looking at an ovulation test, which when I took COVID test, it triggered PTSD. But I was like, is this positive? Is this a peak? And I'm like, I don't know. Did I already ovulate? Did I already? And he was like, I don't know what to do with this. So we did that for a full year. Then in January of 18... I went in for my IVF consult. We started all the drugs. I actually prayed specifically for 9 to 10 eggs and 3 to 4 embryos. And we had 9 eggs and 3 embryos, which is kind of crazy, especially for my age. I should have had a lot more, which I'm glad I didn't. But it's just crazy to think about that. And I encourage you to pray specifically for that. And the Lord hears that. He knows the desires of your heart, even with things like numbers of embryos. So we did our first transfer in March of 2018. That one worked. And I was actually with Jacqueline when I got the phone call. She's right there. When I got the phone call that I was pregnant the first time, I carried that sweet baby for almost 12 weeks. I went in the Friday before Mother's Day and there was no heartbeat. And so I went in for I was just wanting to have things checked because we had our gender reveal scheduled for the following Saturday, and 100 people were coming. And so we had to cancel that. And then really the icing on the cake was I was hosting Mother's Day at my house. So I had the table set, my in-laws were in, my mother was there, John's grandmother was coming, and I have a little bit of a baby bump, and my mom still talks about it. She's like, that was the most heartbreaking thing, because you're I was trying so hard to just keep it together, but ended up having to have a DNC. And it was just really hard, even just thinking about, even when I see things that I sat on that table for that Mother's Day, it still triggers my heart and kind of breaks it. But I had told the Lord years before, I was like,
I can do a lot of things, but miscarriage is not one of them. And I don't say that to make him seem cruel. I say that to say he knows what you can handle. I hate it when people say that, but he will be with it, with you in it. He's not an onlooker to it. He's not going to like pat you on the head and tell you everything's fine and one in four women do this or whatever. That's not how he works. He's in it with you. And two things that really helped me after my miscarriage. The first was that the first face that that baby saw was the face of Jesus. And that was the only thing that helped me. That was the only thought that brought me comfort. And the second was that she would not know pain on this earth and that the Lord was holding her better than I ever could have. So I say all of that to say, I'm not the same girl I was when I started this. And kind of like what Caroline was saying, I'm thankful for the pain and I'm thankful for the journey because it brought me where I am now. Has it been easy and fun? Absolutely not. Crying while you're having sex with your husband, not fun. Going through like miscarriage and loss is horrible. But the Lord was with me at every turn. And every time I asked him, he was there. That doesn't mean that I was always in a good mood when I was talking to him. But we ended up trying our second transfer 6 to 7 months later. And that was also, again, a struggle, just the anxiety and the fear. And like, I want to get past that point I was at and then I'll feel better. And, you know, all of the mind games and things we talk ourselves through. I remember I even like spotted and bled with Kenley, our daughter, and I thought I was losing her and she was fine. We also had a misdiagnosis of trisomy 18 with her. They told me that she had it and she didn't. And it was like a week long waiting period of that. But she is almost 4 and she is a testament to me of God's faithfulness. Just when I look at her, I'm like, you are a miracle. And I'm so grateful that you are here. But my delivery was awful. I lost half my blood. I tried to die. John was in the OR with her for 2.5 hours while I was in the OR. John was in the delivery room with her for 2.5 hours while they were trying to keep me together. And I don't say that to be scary or depressing. I say that to say, again, the Lord was shifting everything and all of these puzzle pieces to make all of the things align with the plan he had for us, which one of those things was if my OB had been there, she would have taken out my uterus. And I'm so glad she wasn't there because I still have it. Thank the Lord. But just to summarize all of this, I did the HSG, 4 months of Clomid, 3 months of Femara, timed intercourse, 3 failed IUIs, a laparoscopy, 1 IVF transfer that ended in miscarriage, and 1 that worked. And I'm only telling you that because I want to hand off some tools that I use that help me in my own journey. And probably the number one thing were these declaration cards that I made that were on like cardstock in our office that had a truth that combated the lie the enemy was feeding me, and then a Bible verse that went with it. So my verse that I clung to was Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promises faithful. And then I would make myself say, I believe you are faithful. Even if I didn't in that moment, even if I was having a terrible time and I was really frustrated with the Lord, I would make myself say these truths because I knew it combated what the enemy was trying to feed me. Another one was, I believe you bless us under trial. And I put James 1:12. I'm not going to read the verses because you get to go home with declaration cards, so you can read them. But those just saved me. I have really rude journal entries where I was crying out to the Lord, rudely, like not kind, really. I mean, I was like, you already know I'm thinking it, so I'm going to write it down, which probably not the best, but that's what I did. But these declaration cards were all I could do on the days that I was like, no, I don't want to talk to you about this. Like, you're not listening to me. I don't feel like you're listening. And I would have little baby fits about it. But they really made the biggest difference for me. And I think finding that verse that combats the lie the enemy's trying to feed you cripples him and he can't win. He can't move. He can't feed you that crap. I've already kind of said some of this, but I just want to challenge you to welcome the refining process that you're in. Welcome the Lord into every part of it, the peaks, the valleys, the highs, the lows. Don't push him aside when it doesn't go the way that you felt that it should. I think that infertility takes you to a place of vulnerability that can seem like constant, heavy, and really deep emotion. But my challenge to you is to take that vulnerability and push it into an authenticity that can only happen in that kind of surrender and in that kind of pain. I think that the Lord can really mold us if we can take that pain and be authentically processing it with him, not in our own head, with him with us. If you invite him into your pain, I do believe that he will change your heart. And when you invite him in, he will make you more like him while you walk through a season of desperation. Psalms 55:22 says, cast your cares upon the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. I can just tell you, through the desperation, through the unanswered prayers, through the tears, through the crying in my car after baby showers, through the hanging up when someone told me they were pregnant and being like, I'm not doing anything today. I think that the Lord, when we turn towards him and we take things like those declarations and come back to him, he's going to demolish that fear. He's going to, if you welcome him in, he's going to bring peace that passes all understanding, that does not make sense in the natural. And I think that he will demolish the lies that the enemy has tried to convince you of. Psalms 29:11 says, the Lord gives strength to his people and the Lord blesses his people with peace. I really want to challenge you to allow yourself to feel the feelings, kind of like what they were saying. If you don't, it will creep up probably at a really not great time, and then you're going to have to deal with it. So I want to challenge you to call on him in your pain. Call on him when you are having those moments. He can handle it. He's not afraid of what you're feeling. He's not overwhelmed. He doesn't think you should be able to handle it better. He's not giving you a grade on your grief score. Psalm 68:19 says, praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. I also love this verse. Isaiah 30:18 says, the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He will rise up to show you compassion, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him. I believe he created us with emotions. He knows we're going to feel them. And if we can feel them deeply and invite him in to each feeling, he's going to do something with it. Okay, I want to talk about this for a second. Maintaining friendships. You guys touched on it and how to be a good friend to someone within the fertility journey. And a lot of people say things that are not helpful, but I want to challenge you to really maintain the friendships you have, even if they're not in your same state. I loved this quote about friendship by C.S. Lewis. Friendship is the instrument by which God reveals to each of us the beauties of others. I think it's easy to disqualify women that you feel like don't understand, but everybody has a story, whether it's infertility or it's losing a parent or it's a cancer diagnosis with someone that you love. We can glean from each other. And I think that the enemy tries to make women think she doesn't get it. Like she has a baby. You don't want to talk to her. Well, she's probably been through something terrible too, and she can help you. Like, allow yourself to invest in those relationships and not push women aside. I have friends that have not walked what I've walked, but they have been the biggest help and the biggest cheerleaders to me. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. That is friendship, and that's what the Lord wants us to do. Okay, so I'm going to walk through my four takeaways, and then I want to pray one prayer over y'all, and then I will be done. So my takeaways are, maintain healthy friendships with women who can walk this well with you. Don't discount your friends who haven't walked through it. My second thing is, it's the Lord's timetable. You don't hold it. Like they were saying with infertility, you can feel like because you have a schedule of like, do this medicine or have sex tonight and tomorrow and then come in for your shot, whatever it is. I think it's important to remember that we are the stewards, but he holds it. We were supposed to do a transfer in January. And I was like, Lord, make it clear if it's not right. I got COVID. Our kitchen had flooded. It was like three things in a row. And I was like, okay, it is not right. But I think it's easy to feel like you control it and you don't. I think it's just important to remind yourself that he holds it, and he's not going to be like, oh, you tried to do it this month. No, if he's already planned it, it's going to happen. My third thing is to keep your head in scripture and utilize your declaration cards. And my fourth is to get connected with this ministry. I think isolation is the enemy's number one tactic with women, especially in this. He wants you to feel alone. He wants you to feel like no one else has ever been through this. And he wants to take you out and get you isolated. So please get connected with us. We have so many resources. And the heart of this ministry is not to get a baby in your arms, but to teach you how to walk this with the Lord. We want you to know that you have women alongside you that want to walk this out with you and want to help you navigate it well. So please do that. So yes, maintain healthy friendships. It's the Lord's timetable. Keep your head in scripture. Utilize your declaration cards and please get connected with us. The last thing I wanted to do was to pray over y'all, the women that are walking through this right now. I just want to pray against, I don't know if any of you feel like you've disqualified yourself from motherhood. You haven't. I don't know if any of you feel like, I don't know, whatever the enemy is feeding you, I just want to break it and cancel it and get rid of it So if y'all will just close your eyes and open your hands, I'm just going to pray this blessing over you. Dear Lord, I thank you for these women. I thank you for their hearts to serve you, to be mothers, God. I thank you for that gift. You gave that to them. That is from you. I ask that you would sustain them, Lord, and I ask that you would wipe away any lie that the enemy has placed in their mind or in their heart. God, I ask that you would grab that by the root and throw it away. I ask that it would be replaced with your truth and your truth about them, that you have called them to be moms, whatever that looks like, that the enemy has no say, no stand, that you would cripple him at the knees, God, and that you would replace all of that with your truth. It's in your name I pray. Amen.